Hello and welcome to the Science Fiction Book Review Podcast. My name is Luke Burridge, and this is a show where I review every single science fiction book that I read as I read it. There's no set schedule, it's just whenever I finish a book, I do the review, stick it up here on the podcast feed, even though, like I have today, a bit of a snotty nose, or maybe my laptop is broken and the microphone's not working properly, so the quality is a bit low. But I always notice that if I go, I'll wait until I get home with my good microphones and good other stuff, if I ever do that, I just never actually get around to recording the podcast. So sometimes, like today, I have to and like quite often in the past, I have to sacrifice good quality audio just for getting it done. Sometimes, what is it, perfection is the enemy of done, and that's the case with this podcast as well. So sorry if the audio quality isn't fantastic. Anyway, let's get on to today's book. This is an audiobook that I listened to, found it on Audible. Now, a while ago I was listening to some other podcasts, probably about a year ago actually, because this book came out about a year ago in 2014 anyway. And someone was mentioning, I'm guessing maybe on a Reading Envy podcast or maybe on a SFF audio podcast, where lots of people talk about lots of different books that they're reading or come out or that they're just generally interested in. Someone said, hey, there's this great story, or it's a great story idea, based on 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. So like, how deep can a submarine go? This is a story about people who get into a submarine and they go out and it starts going down and then it just keeps going down and down and down and down and down, and it goes really, really, really deep, deeper than the earth is, or the oceans are deep. So they go like down out the bottom of the oceans. And I was like, oh, that sounds like an interesting book, but I didn't make a note of it at the time until I was looking through Audible and I saw Adam Roberts' 20 Trillion Leagues Under the Sea, and I'm like, yep, that's the book. So I thought, well, that sounded interesting when it was discussed for about 2 minutes on another podcast that I listened to. It caught my interest then, it caught my interest now, let's give it a listen. So I did, I downloaded it. It's Adam Roberts' 20 Trillion Leagues Under the Sea. Now, this is the first novel of Adam Roberts that I have read, I think. I know him as a critic, read some of his blog posts about different reviews and other things, and I enjoy them. So, yeah, let's get on with this one. So, 2014, as it says here, so it's pretty new. Even though that's like a year ago now, I still think of 2014 as pretty recent. And what I did notice was that when I typed in a few days ago, when I was like, oh, let's see what it says, what people say about it on Goodreads or on Google or whatever. So I typed in 20 trillion leagues, not under the sea, just 20 trillion leagues, and went enter into Google, and it didn't just come up with the book, it comes up with a conversion to metric. So it actually says, 20 trillion leagues is this many to the power of this many meters. And I was like, oh, okay, so that's it. And it made me think, actually, the reason, it kind of clarified the reason why this was, why this book was written, or kind of where this book comes from, which is when this didn't happen to me, but lots of people think, oh, 20,000 leagues under the sea. Wait a second, how deep is that? And people then say, well, how deep is that? And they're like, well, that's 12,000 kilometers deep, or that's deeper than the diameter or radius of the world. And they go, oh, okay, that doesn't work. But of course, 20,000 leagues under the sea is a distance, how long they traveled under the sea. Now, I understand this is a general misconception of it's actually how far they traveled while being under the sea, rather than the depth that they went under the sea. But this never really got to me, because I think I had a version of this book, like a picture version, like a picture book version of 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea by Jules Verne, and it had a map in it which actually showed where they went, and it showed it like how many leagues they had gone, because I think they set off from, is it New York? I can't remember, but they go all the way around here, around the Red Sea, they go to Atlantis, they go down to the trenches and up to the Arctic or Antarctic or wherever it is, and it kind of plotted that on a map and actually showed this like wriggly line going around the world, and it marked it off. Yes, this is 1,000 leagues and this is 2,000 leagues, and I was like, oh, leagues is a distance, not just a depth, although I guess it can be a depth. But yeah, so I think what Adam Roberts has done is he's gone, ah, well, how deep is 20,000 leagues? It's more than the diameter of the earth. Well, let me just make that into the premise of a story. What would happen if you started going down and you ended up going down 20,000 leagues? And that's what it's going for here. That's what the book is. A submarine goes out and keeps going down and keeps going down and down and down and down and down. Although when I was just looking through, because some of the best way to I can't remember the names of the characters. How am I going to find out the names? And then you go and look at a Wikipedia page, and there's not there. Or you look at the best way to do is actually just look at a review and say, "Hey, my favorite characters are this," or "This is the name of this character, and this is we follow this character here." So I did that. Didn't find as many names as I wanted to, but I did find this strange this interesting, I say strange, this one review here on Goodreads, and it says there's so many problems with this one-star review. There's so many problems. The lack of understanding of Verne is most evident in the title. Leagues are distance, not depth, and this is a story about falling, sinking. Verne recounted a voyage across the ocean, not how far the Nautilus went down under the ocean. An accurate title here would be 20 Leagues Under the Sea, because that's how far the plunger travels before sinking. And I'm just like, no, this isn't something that Adam Roberts hasn't got. This is the reason that the book exists. So I think it's quite fun that someone on Goodreads called Online Electric Librarian rated it 1 star, and one of the main reasons that they mentioned it, or the first reason that they state of the many problems of this book, was misunderstanding, this common misunderstanding, which I know exists, but it's like, how can you read this book and not understand that that common misunderstanding is the basis of this book, not a continuation of that common misunderstanding? So this is the setup. What we have is set in 1955, and there's this submarine called the Plongeur. The plunger, and they go out on their test sailing. And it even says in the introduction, this submarine was a secret project that nobody knew about, and it went out and it never came back from its first sailing. And so it was swept under the rug, it was hushed up, and nobody ever did find out about it later on. So of course, when we start reading this, we know that this submarine is not coming back again. And the people who go down in it are not coming back. So right at the very start, I don't really have to worry too much about spoilers of what happens to some of the people on board. Anyway, but they take it out and they're like, "Hey, let's go and test this out." So there's the captain on board. The captain is called Adam Cloche. And there's a government observer called Labrette, and there's lots of different officers. There's engineers. I think there's a cook. No, there isn't a cook, because there's not so many people out there. But they have like a mess, and there's lots of food there. And they have two nuclear submarine technicians, like two scientists from India, and it's their job to look after the nuclear reactor because it's a nuclear submarine. And they go out there and they're like, "Right, okay, let's take her down to 1 kilometer depth." And they go down and they go down and stop. And they're like, "Hey, should we take it down to 1,500 kilometers? This is in the Atlantic Ocean off the coast of France. And they're like, "Yes, let's take it down." And then suddenly something goes wrong, and the plunger starts plunging deeper and deeper. And they're like, "Right, okay, we're going to hit the bottom of the ocean, and or we're going to implode with pressure." And of course, they think they're all going to die, and all the crew get together. The captain calls them all together and says, "Right, let's do this. We're all going to die, but let's just hang on, see what happens." And there's this fun scene where they, because they all think they're going to die, one person just goes, "Right, I'm getting drunk." And someone else says, "Well, I've got a confession to make. This happened to me when I was younger, and I never told anyone." And someone else was like, "Yes, well, when I was in the Second World War, this happened to me." And someone else was like, "Oh, when I was a kid, this happened to me, and I did this, and it was really bad." And they get off their confessions, they put out some of their confessions, and then they all, like, just go apart. They're all like, "Well, I don't want to be here with you guys. I'd rather just sit in my cabin by myself before I die." Okay. And someone else goes, "Well, I'm going to get drunk." Or maybe he's already gone to get drunk, and other people go off. And then they don't die, as I've already kind of given away. They just keep going deeper and deeper and deeper. And there's some weird stuff that happens, sort of like some pressure differences, and they kind of like some orientation things. It kind of feels like they're being flipped upside down at some point. And then they just keep going deeper and deeper and deeper. And that's pretty much the main part, or a big chunk of the story, is what happens when it just keeps going deeper and deeper and deeper. It soon turns out that they might not be going deeper. Well, not so much deeper, because there's the weird pressure thing, like the pressure outside equalizes with the inside. So they're like, "Well, we can't be going deeper because the water pressure isn't increasing. In fact, it has now decreased to kind of surface kind of thing, but and they have this viewport that they look out and they're trying to see what's outside and things, and they just keep going and going and going, and the crew gets bored, and then it gets crazy, and then it gets bored again, and then it gets even crazier, and then between, of course, between the crew members, lots of things start happening, lots of subterfuge. You've got like, was it 12 men in a tin can who can't get away from each other, and things start going a bit crazy, and like I say, there's weirdness and conspiracy and things like that. So that's kind of the setup and what happens right there at the start of the story. Now, what a lot of this is of course you have to spend time with these characters, and thankfully the characters are, some of them are a bit too well, it's weird. I don't really know how much to say about this because, like, when I started reading this, I presumed because of the title, 20 Trillion Leagues Under the Sea, this was going to be kind of a pastiche or a homage to Jules Verne kind of adventure stories. That is even mentioned quite explicitly in the text of the book as well. It says, oh, it's like 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, but because we keep going deeper and deeper and deeper, it's also kind of journey to the center of the earth kind of stuff going on, and it's almost as though the characters kind of know that they're in a kind of adventure story, but really it's not just an adventure story. There's actually lots more going on here as well, because at the start I'm like, it's an adventure story. Well, it's not quite an adventure story because it's not set in kind of like Victorian times, even though the characters do feel like that in a way that they're all sort of talking to each other about what they're doing. It does feel a kind of Victorian adventure at the start, but then it kind of goes on. You're like, well, is it a science fiction novel? Well, like kind of more of a H.G. Wellsy kind of thing, not like pure adventure. Like a Jules Verne, it becomes, is it more science fiction? Well, it is kind of that. And then it goes, well, is it more of a weird science fictiony kind of thing? Well, yeah. Is it a parable? Is it, you know, that is it Lovecraftian going along? You know, is it now a study like a Lord of the Flies kind of thing about what happens when you put people in a box and then leave them to get on with it? And then as it keeps going on, I realize, oh, actually, what we're doing is we're having kind of like not so much in order, it's not chronological, but we do have like a recap of science fiction from the 1850s all the way up to, I would say, kind of like the 1980s, like 1970s, 1980s, where it's super hard science fiction, where people like when it's talking about different dimensions and different like real cosmological science fiction, like what is the basis of the universe and can we get to other universes and what's at the end of this universe and what are the limits of the universe, which kind of made me feel, you know, like bringing it all the way up to kind of more like a Stephen Baxter kind of thing. I mean, that's just one name off the top of my head. I'm sure there's others as well. Was it Greg Egan always does that? Oh, and now we're exploring different layers of and depths of dimensionality and things, you know, so that all that kind of stuff goes on, and it's kind of an exploration through all of that. Now, this is, of course, what I would expect. Well, I didn't expect it going in, but I kind of like, as I was reading, I was like, oh, I kind of get what's going on now, because Adam Roberts, I know him from his like science fiction and fantasy criticism, and this is the kind of thing that he will pick out. Like, he will be, okay, there's this style here, and we can explore this one, and this kind of science fiction is good for exploring this, and this kind of fantasy exploring for this. I read once when he was talking about the Lord of the Rings, and he was saying, well, actually, when the Lord of the Rings starts out, it actually does a similar thing but goes backwards in time. It starts out as like with the Hobbit as more of like a children's story, but when you actually get into the Lord of the Rings proper, it starts out and it's like an adventure story, like a, you know, Victorian adventure story that the guys get together and they're like, yes, let's go on adventure, and we go, yeah. And then as you carry on reading, it kind of goes backwards in time. It goes back through kind of like the fantasy kind of like Arthurian legends kind of stage, and then as they go back, it becomes more of a an like an epic of a kind of Beowulf kind of stage kind of thing with lots of, you know, that kind of stuff. And then by the end of it, even the language comes all the way down, so it's much more like Greek epic and kind of almost biblical language of talk when it's talking later on about the battles and the, you know, kind of thing. And he kind of teases that out, and I was like, yes, actually, that is what I recognize there in The Lord of the Rings. It's kind of progressing from one form of fiction to another, one stylistic kind of, like one style of storytelling to another. And that's what I can see Adam Roberts is doing here. So again, I don't want to give too much away, but there is lots of weird stuff in there, kind of explicit mentions of different fiction over the years, like talking about Verne, talking about Alice in Wonderland, and going in that kind of stuff. But yeah, it kind of from one focus, one chapter to the next, the focus can kind of switch from like, oh, this is this kind of fiction. Oh no, now it feels like a different kind of fiction. I think if you just go with that, it works. But all the way through, when there's this, some weird stuff is happening, like at the start, you're like, well, we go through, like, do we go through into a different dimension of water, or have we gone through some fissure in the bottom, or maybe we're all dead and we're now all in hell? It's funny that what I like about it is that the characters themselves are like, ah, I know what's happened. We're all in hell. Now we're in the afterlife. And others are like, are we really in the afterlife? Am I dead yet? And other people are going, no, we're actually gone this way. We're in a, you know, we're actually now in outer space, but we're like in a watery outer space. Oh, is that what's happening? Oh, now this has happened and we're actually in a river of water, which is going cyclonically inside the earth, so it feels like we keep going down and down and down, but actually we're going like in this weird spiral sideways. So the characters themselves are trying to work out, is there a science fictional explanation for this, or is there a religious explanation for this, or is there a fantasy explanation for this, or is there some kind of like weird elder gods kind of Lovecraftian explanation for this? The characters themselves are actually thinking about that. But a lot of the stuff that they're thinking about, I'm like, wait, there's all these other clues here within the text that you're not picking up on. I'm like, what's happening with the wind that's blowing around inside, and the water which is like flying around? Like, why are you never actually looking and thinking about this stuff? And I came up with some kind of like, not so much explanations of what's going on, but like what is actually going on, like rules wise. Like, okay, I've worked out the rules of what is going on here. But why, like, but I don't understand why the rules are like that. And later on in the book, when the characters, well, one of the characters meets someone else who kind of does know more of what's going on, he was like, well, why didn't you realize what was going on? Like, didn't you understand with these rules? And I was, and as a reader, or I was listening to this in audiobook, I was like, yes, I did understand that. I did catch that. Why didn't the characters notice that? But even in the book itself, the characters are shown to be like missing things that you're meant to be picking up on as a reader. And so at the end I was like, oh, okay, so there is a lot of this stuff is paid off, a lot of the weird stuff is paid off. There is some ambiguity there at the end, but it made me feel clever that I spotted some of these weird things that were going on that the characters didn't bring up, or were going, oh, I don't understand this, and I'm like, I do understand it. And I got to the end, I was like, yes, I feel clever. But of course there's loads of other stuff where I was like, well, there's no way I could have known that, or if I was expected to have known that, I now feel not clever. So, the end of the story is interesting. I was like, oh yeah, this is clearly what happens here at the end of the story. And then like the next, then there's like a little bit of an epilogue, well, like the last chapter, then I was like, oh, maybe I don't know what's going on. I'm not really sure. There are some plot holes, but again, it's one of those times where you're going, is this a real plot hole, or is not this not a real plot hole? And sometimes they're going, well, how long have they been going down? Because at some points it feels like, well, they've only been going down a few days, and at some point it says, well, we've been going down a few days, but then I'm like, well, the distance that they've gone, like, are they thousands of meters under the sea, or are they now thousands of kilometers under the sea? Because if it's thousands of kilometers, at the rate that they're going down, they must have been falling for many more. We weren't just falling for days, we must have been falling for weeks and weeks and weeks. Or maybe the rate of descent has been going up and down, but it seems to be pretty clear. And some of the things that they pass along the way, I was like, well, how big was that thing that they passed, and what was this other like zone that they were going? And so sometimes it's a bit confusing, which is a bit weird actually, because I looked again. I look on Goodreads here, and there's the blurb. And on the book, and it's sort of like, I'm not sure when this blurb was written or who wrote this blurb, because I'm like, is this actually what happens? It goes, it's 1955, funded in part by a reclusive Swiss millionaire and working, it is claimed, from Nemo's actual blueprints discovered in India. The French Navy built a replica Nautilus. And I'm like, really? What was I meant to have picked up on that? I didn't pick up on that at all. And I'm not sure how much it is, because I don't remember the 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. I don't remember it well enough to know, oh, is this the same submarine? I know it has a viewing port and things like that, but like a window that they could look out of, which I do remember from that. I think there's a movie version of it as well. And it says, and commanded by the short-tempered Captain Mason. And I'm like, no, the captain wasn't Mason. The captain was Adam Cloche. So I'm like, is Cloche, what does that mean in French? Is that Mason in French? Why is it called Mason? And then it says, as days turn to weeks, the mystery of their plight only grows deeper. And I'm like, no, why are they thinking that? It says, and when they think all is hope, and as they approach the trillionth kilometer of depth, and I'm like, no, that isn't it. And I'm wondering, like, how does someone think that the captain was called Captain Mason? How do they think they were descending for weeks instead of days? And why do they think that they get to millions of kilometers? They never get millions of kilometers deep. You know, that there is a reason why this is called 20 trillion leagues under the sea. But it isn't because they get to the depth of 20 trillion leagues under the sea. I think that's kind of posited as the maximum theoretical depth, but that isn't actually how far they get down there. It's a bit strange that sometimes I'm thinking, is this a plot hole or is it not a plot hole? But I think it's just a bit messily written. Which brings me on to what was my next note here. Oh, yes, the audiobook. I listened to this book. I got this book on Audible, and this is why I do my Audible plug. My Audible, this is the commercial break now, which is, hey, check this book out. You can actually listen to this book for free. Go to audibletrial.com/SFBRP and start a free trial. You can sign up for a free trial, or you sign up for like a monthly plan, gold plan or a platinum plan, get one or two books per month, credits per month, and you get your first credit for free, and this book is yours forever if you want it. And by getting this book for free, or I think like 200,000 other books, there are lots of really great books. This is pretty good too. You can get the book for free and help support the SFBRP by going to audibletrial.com/SFBRP. Now, what I liked about this book is it's narrated by a guy called, let me open Audible app, Christian Coulson. Christian Coulson is the narrator, and he does a really, really good job of this, because all of the characters in this book are French. No, two of them are Indians, like from India, and they speak in an Indian accent, which I'm not going to do, because I can do terrible accents. Only terrible accents is what I can do. And everybody else is French. What I love about it is there are no French accents at all, because Christian Coulson is not French. Now, if there was a French person doing this, they might have been able to do the whole thing with, oh, yes, with a French. But I don't want to listen to that, because I don't understand what different French accents are. Like, if someone does like an upper-class French accent and then does a lower-class French accent, or someone from Paris and then someone from the south of France and all that kind of stuff, I wouldn't be able to understand what those differences are. So what Christian Coulson is actually, he does all of them with English accents. The Indians speak with Indian accents because they are obviously the foreigners on board, the heathen foreigners. But then all the French people, they speak in the corresponding English accents to their status and their standing and their, you know, their background. So the like the seafarers, they speak in kind of like English seafaring kind of things that you'd expect, and others speak more in a lower class or a Cockney accent, and others people speak a bit more succinctly and with better English, sort of more like the King's English or Queen's English. 1955, yeah, I guess Queen's English. So that works really, really well. Now, one thing that you don't get if you get the Audible version like I did, apparently there's illustrations. There, as you go through, it says here on Goodreads that, oh, now I've closed my phone thing, or as it says here, Mahendra Singh, illustrator, and looking at some of the people's reviews, it says, oh yes, you can, there's some different illustrations as you go through, which makes it feel more like an old kind of adventure story kind of thing, because you have the illustrations, which you used to have back in the day when illustrators got paid money to do that kind of stuff. I haven't seen any of them. Maybe they're really good illustrations, but as an audiobook, I didn't pick up on any of that. So audibletrial.com/SFBRP if you want to help support this podcast and also get a free book. I think you should do it. And thanks for everyone who has done that in the past. That's really handy. So bringing on, yeah, normally I talk about the themes of the book. Now, this is one of those weird things about this book. It's like, well, what is this book about? And it's like, this is a book about everything, because it is like, let's just throw everything into the book. Adam Roberts has got lots of things to say about science fiction and literature and all this kind of stuff, but it's just every single thing seems to be an exploration of something new. Like I say, from chapter to chapter, it kind of switches style and switches focus. I'd say overall the theme, or the main kind of like vibe of the book, is kind of a horror, like science fiction, fantasy, horror adventure. I think the horror part of it does come out. But it was weird, because as I went into this book, I had no idea that that was what was going to be the biggest part of it. So, like, going into a book thinking, an adventure story, and then it's like, it's science fiction, and all like that. So it keeps you off guard in that way. But, like, the themes switch, like, almost on a chapter-by-chapter basis as well. It's like, well, this is a book about power, and this is a book about science. No, it's about exploration. No, it's about religion and God and physics and death and the formation of cults and the formation of society and what science is for and like the power of this and the power, you know, all of those different kind of things. It seems like a book that's kind of about everything, which I think is it made it a fun book to read, because you're kind of like I was constantly on edge, not really knowing which direction the book was going. But I did overall find it a bit too messy. I think if it had kind of doubled down at any point on some of these themes and doubled down a bit more onto some like specific style and theme, and going, right, this book, it was like a 9-hour audiobook. If it had been like a 6.5 or 7-hour audiobook, I think it would have been improved, just like tightening up some of the passages which get a bit long and some of the passages which get a little bit silly and some of the characters which get a little bit over the top. But I do understand that this is it's almost like a writing exercise, like very experimental, going, hey, how far can I push it? And I'm like, yes, you pushed it very far in all these different ways, but I think it was just pushed a little bit too far it went too far over the edge in too many ways. Overall, though, it was very, very good fun. Actually, there's actually lots of stuff that I've not even talked about with the characters and things, but I think it's best just to leave it up for people to check out this book. If a weird book with lots of different ideas and styles and themes, all of those different kind of things come together, and a big mystery about what's at the heart of this and who's in on the conspiracy and who's not on the conspiracy and what's actually going on and how many layers does it go down, I think you'd enjoy this book. I'm going to give it 3.5 stars, because it appealed to me, but I think it is not overall great. I think it's a good book. I would recommend it, but it's not going to be a 4-star book or a 4.5-star book where I'd be like, yeah, everyone should read this book and you'll like it. It's like a 3-3.5-star book, kind of like 3.5-star book, where I'd say I really enjoyed it, but I would have reservations about recommending this to everyone, because it is a bit weird and a bit not for everyone, I think. So that's it for this book. The next book that I'm going to be reviewing is probably, let me have a look here. Oh yeah, we've still got to get to Aurora, because Juliana is finishing that one up. What else have I got here? The Dying Earth, which I finished probably like 6 months ago now and didn't get around to reviewing. I will probably review that sometime. Oh, Jurassic Park, which I'm halfway through at the moment. The original novel by Michael Crichton. Really enjoying that one. What else have I got here? I guess I'm going to download some more audiobooks. And there's some other books as well that I'm going to be reviewing with Juliana. And also on the Reading Envy podcast coming up this month as well, with me and Jenny, will be talking about some non-science fiction books and non-fiction books on there too. So look out for that popping up in your feed later on. You can follow me on Twitter. I'm at Luke Burridge there. You can email me, luke@juggler.net is the best way to get hold of me. If you've got any specific questions, I do reply to every email that I get. If you've got a book that you want me to read that you have not written and you're not being paid to promote, send it in there. And also tell me why you want me to read the book. Don't just say the name. Like on goodreads.com, you can become my friend there and join the SFBRP listener group and check out the books I would like to see reviewed thread and things. But if you just send me a recommendation, which is just the title of the book, I'm not going to read it. You have to give me some explanation of why I should read it. And if enough other people also suggest it, or if it intrigues me somehow, I will get to it. But just saying a name of a book is never enough to get me to read it. I'm on Goodreads, Twitter, email. That's it from me. Thanks a lot for listening, and I'll catch you next time.